whirl around her sister. She hadn't seen it this strong in months. Reaching out, she grasped Aaron's right hand in hers. Marina closed her eyes when she felt the strength of her magic flowing through her. She opened her eyes and looked down at Aaron. Her sister's face was flushed, but not with the heat of fever. Instead, Marina could see the healthy glow on Aaron's skin. Several minutes later, Aaron blinked. A wide smile lit the young girl's face.
"I'm hungry,"
Aaron said, looking hopeful at Jeff. Marina's throat tightened at the clear eyes and the smile that came naturally instead of being forced. She reached up and removed the healing stone from Aaron's forehead and placed it on the blanket beside her sister. Aaron sat up and bundled the blanket around her shoulders. Charlie softly groaned and shifted beside her, taking up the space Aaron had made. Aaron giggled and tenderly stroked the puppy.
"Thank you, Mr. Charlie, for keeping my spot warm,"
Aaron teased. Marina reached over and tenderly brushed the dark purple hair from Aaron's cheek. The sound of her sister's teasing warmed Marina's heart. Even though she could feel the pull of Magna's magic on her, it wasn't enough to dampen her relief at seeing her sister feeling better. "Warm soup coming up," Jeff said with a grin. Turning her gaze back to Mike, she gave him a grateful smile.
"Thank you,"
she said in a soft voice. Mike shook his head. "I don't know what just happened, but whatever it was, it worked," he said, pushing up off the ground. "Let me make a fire. We don't want her to have a relapse." Jeff removed the fire sticks that were no longer glowing and replaced them in his knapsack. Marina took the cup of soup from Jeff when he held it out to her. She bit her lip when she realized there was only enough for the three of them. Mike looked up and caught the expression of indecision on her face. Her blood heated when he gave her a slightly crooked grin. "Eat. Charlie and I had a big breakfast a couple of hours ago," he said.
If you're sure,"
Marina replied, with a relieved smile. He nodded and continued working on the fire.
"What is this place called?" he asked.
"What do you mean? The forest? It is called Rindheart," Marina said.
Mike shook his head.
"No, I mean this world. You called this place the Isle of Magic. Where exactly is it located?
I come from a place called Earth, and a town called Yahatz, in a state called Oregon, and a country called the United States of America, on the North American continent," he explained. Marina thought about his question.
"That is a lot of places to come from. This is the Seven Kingdoms. Our world is made up of seven isles, each a gift from the goddess," she said.
"What is that?" Jeff asked, when Mike pulled a small cylinder from his pocket and leaned closer to the stacked wood.
"Good old-fashioned magic called a cigarette lighter," Mike said, flicking the starter.
"How did it do that?"
Jeff asked, in excitement. Mike chuckled.
"I only have a basic idea, but it involves pressure, butane, air, and a catalytic coil. It is much easier than the Boy Scout method of rubbing two sticks together or using two flint rocks," he said.
"Do these Boy Scouts rule your world? You have mentioned them before," Marina asked in curiosity.
"No, it's kind of hard to explain. So, this is the Seven Kingdoms. It is sort of like our world, where we have seven continents."
"Is each kingdom divided into different countries?" Mike asked, sitting back as the fire began to burn. Jeff frowned in confusion.
"What are countries?" he asked.
Mike raised an eyebrow.
"I guess that is a no. So each kingdom belongs to one species of people," he clarified.
"Yes," Aaron said, smiling up at him. "We're the Isle of Magic. We each possess different kinds of magical abilities. Are you a healer as well? I felt stronger when you touched me."
Mike paused in breaking the long stick in his hand. Marina could see a flash of pain before he hit it. He shook his head and looked down at the fire.
"I wish, but no, I wouldn't say I have any magic abilities. But I'm good at what I do," he said.
"What are you good at?"
Aaron asked, licking a drop of soup from her bottom lip.
"Protecting people," he replied.
Warmth filled Marina when Mike looked at her. She looked away when Aaron giggled and nudged her, A blush heated her cheeks. From under her lashes, she studied Mike as he asked questions and answered others from her brother and sister. She liked his patience with them, and the sound of his smooth, rich voice. Erin giggled when he teased her about the size of her yawn. Soon, the warmth of the fire Mike built, the stress of the day, and the drain on their magic was luring Marina and her siblings to sleep. Marina slid down next to Erin. Her sister was curled up next to Charlie and wrapped her arm around the pup. Marina lay with one arm curled under her head for a pillow. "Here," Mike said, rising to his feet and covering both of them with another thin blanket and his jacket.
"What about you?" Marina asked.
"I'll be fine," Mike assured her, moving back to sit down again.
"Thank you," Marina replied,
before closing her eyes.
"Will you be here when we wake up?"
Jeff asked, his exhaustion reflected in his voice. Mike nodded. "Yes, I'll be here. Get some rest. I'll keep an eye on things," he said. Jeff gave him a tired smile before pulling his blanket up to his neck and quickly falling asleep. Marina listened as Jeff and Aaron's breathing slowed and became steady. She was too tired to open her eyes. The sound of the fire snapping, the warmth of her sister's body against her back, the heat of the fire in front of her, and the faint masculine scent clinging to Mike's jacket gave Marina a sense of security she hadn't felt in over a year.
"Thank you," she murmured again.
"My pleasure, Marina. Get some sleep. I won't let anything happen to you guys," he replied in a soft voice.
Chapter 8 Mike snapped some twigs and fed the fire. His gaze moved from the glowing worms that made their home in the tree to the woman sleeping across from him. He'd been trying not to stare at her, but realized it was an impossible endeavor, especially in the cramped confines of their shelter.
"Marina Fay of the Isle of Magic. She's a witch, of course," Mike murmured under his breath. "A witch. A beautiful, exotic, daring, and brave witch."
He ran his gaze over her relaxed face. Wisps of her dark, wavy hair caressed her cheek. Her coloring reminded him of the forest. Her dark brown and gold hair and tanned skin had the same highlights of the tree trunks, with the sun shining on it. Her dark lashes lay like crescents against her sun-kissed cheeks. Her nose was long and slender, while her lips made him want to taste their fullness.
Mike shook his head at his musing.
"Since when have I ever been poetic?" he thought. "I really need to get my head examined. Instead of thinking of how much I want to kiss Marina, I should be focusing on what happened today, where I am, and how in the hell I'm going to get home."
Silently rising to his feet, he decided he'd better collect more firewood. He motioned for Charlie to stay when the pup lifted his head. Turning, he quietly stepped around Jeff and slipped through the narrow opening in the trunk. He took several steps away before he paused and drew in a deep breath of the cool, clean air. He looked up at the night sky. One moon was full, while the other looked like a waxing gibbous. He kept the large tree to his right as he walked in a tight circle, gathering several large pieces of dead wood. As he collected the wood, he listened to the different sounds of the forest. 100 yards away, a large bird hooted from one of the tall trees. It sounded a lot like an owl. He could see the night stars light up and fade. The lights made the forest look more like something on a movie set or a theme park ride than a reality. The sound of flapping wings and several dark shadows blocking the light from the moons drew Mike's attention to the treetops. Looking up, he caught his breath when he saw dozens of large birds flying overhead. At a rough guess, he'd have put their wingspan at almost 20 feet from tip to tip. He decided anything with wings that big must have an even larger beak. The last thing he wanted was to become their next meal. He retraced his steps as silently as he could, wincing every time he stepped on a branch. Ducking his head, he entered the tree and released the breath he had unwittingly been holding. He quietly stacked the wood near the fire before taking two logs and placing them across the coals.
"I thought I had dreamed about you."
Mike's head jerked up and his gaze locked with Marina's. She was watching him. He sank down to the ground next to Jeff.
"You should be sleeping," he chided.
"I know. It has been difficult to rest well over the past year. There is always a sense of fear that something will come for us in the dark, even though I know none of the Sea Witch's creatures can," she admitted.
"Why can't she attack at night?" Mike asked with a frown.
Marina drew in a deep breath and released it.
"She created a spell that drains all magical creatures of their powers from nightfall to dawn. You would think she would have realized that the same spell would affect her and the creatures she made, but for some reason she didn't. She and the unnatural beasts she uses, like the ogres, are just as defenseless as the rest of us. Unfortunately, there are still things that can hurt us," she explained.
"Well, that was a big uh-oh," Mike chuckled, poking at the fire with a stick.
"Yes, but at least her mistake gives us some reprieve," Marina replied with a yawn.
"Get some sleep. We should have enough firewood to last until morning," he assured her.
"What about you?"
she asked, biting her lip.
Mike smiled and shook his head. "It is still morning for me. You don't have to worry about me, too. I'm old enough to take care of myself," he responded.
Her lips twitched at his comment.
"Yes, you are,"
she murmured on a yawn.
"You are very..."
Mike stopped poking the fire and waited for her to finish the sentence. "He was a very...
what?"
A silent groan echoed through his head when he realized that she had fallen back asleep. It took him a moment to realize he was still staring at her, and that his body was hard and throbbing. Leaning back against the inside of the tree, Mike blinked. What the fuck was going on? His body hadn't reacted to a woman like this since he was about 14 and Kylie Mooney sat in front of him in 8th grade science. He itched to bury his fingers in her long hair, but it was his cock that he wanted to bury somewhere else. He tilted his head back and watched the wisps of smoke rise from the fire to the top of the tree. It was going to be a long, long night.
"Come on, boy, you've watered enough trees," Mike called to Charlie.
Beside him, Mike heard Jeff chuckle. The teen had become his shadow since he and his sisters woke up as the sun peeked over the horizon. Mike wasn't sure if it was because the boy wanted to know more about him or if it was to keep an eye on him. When Mike stated he needed to take Charlie out for a bit, Jeff had eagerly stood up as well. Mike shoved his hands into the pockets of his jacket. He had wanted to go with Marina when she said she would find some food to break their fast, but before he could suggest it, she had disappeared. Aaron stayed to pack up their blankets.
"He listens well,"
Jeff commented when Charlie came up.
"When he feels like it," Mike retorted with a wry grin.
Mike watched as Charlie came trotting toward them with a long stick that kept getting caught in the tall ferns. Of course, Charlie didn't come to Mike. Jeff bent over and gave Charlie a rub when the pup dropped the stick at the boy's feet.
"Watch him. He's playing with you. If you try to grab the stick, he'll take off," Mike warned.
Jeff grinned and winked at Mike. One second, Jeff was there, and in the next, he was gone. Mike stumbled backwards and blinked again, and again. Either he was having issues with double vision, or there were now two golden retrievers. Mike lifted a hand and rubbed it over his eyes. Looking between his fingers, he still saw two dogs. They looked identical.
"Jeff, knock it off," Marina ordered,
walking past them. Mike started and turned to look at her. She was carrying several large, dark orange roots by their leaves. In a flash, Jeff was back into the shape of a teen and following her back to the tree. Mike looked down when Charlie whined. He could see the pup's gaze following Jeff.
"I've fallen down the fucking rabbit's hole," he muttered before shaking his head. "Come on, boy."
Marina scowled at her brother. Jeff just grinned at her, adding to her irritation. Bending over, she grabbed the pot and held it out to him.
"I need water," she stated, staring at him with a raised eyebrow.
"What's wrong?" Jeff asked with a grimace, taking the pot from her. Marina opened her mouth to scold her brother for startling Mike. She snapped her mouth closed and pursed her lips when Charlie entered their shelter a moment before Mike did. Turning, she knelt by the hot coals left over from the fire and pulled her knife out.
"Charlie!"
Erin called, opening her arms wide. The pup didn't need any other encouragement. His furry, wiggling body almost knocked Marina over in his haste to get to her sister. Fire swept through Marina when she felt a pair of strong hands steady her.
"Sorry about that," Mike said, kneeling down next to her. "He still needs to learn some manners."
"So does my brother,"
Marina retorted, before she blew out a breath and turned her head to look at Mike. She was startled to see his face so close to hers.
He shouldn't have startled you.
Her eyes widened when he lifted his hand and brushed her hair back from her cheek. His fingers caressed her earlobe as he tucked the long, thick strands behind her ear. Marina leaned closer to his body when his fingers traced the line of her jaw.
"It was actually pretty cool. Unexpected, but cool."
"Can you?"
Mike asked in a slightly hesitant voice. Marina shook her head.
"We each have our own strengths and weaknesses. I have an affinity for the forest, and..."
She paused and shook her head again.
"Jeff can imitate living creatures. It is forever getting him in trouble. If he is not careful, a hunter or meat-eating animal will mistake him for their next meal,"
she said in exasperation. "So, Erin can heal, Jeff can imitate living things, and you can..." Mike encouraged, turning to sit down on the ground so he was facing her.
"Marina can talk to the trees and plants," a voice replied.
Marina grimaced when Mike jerked his head around to look at the bow that was propped up against a log. Erin giggled at his reaction while Charlie stood up and walked over to sniff the bow. Mike chuckled when the bow growled at Charlie. The pup yelped and hurried back to lay next to Erin.
"Is that thing for real?"
Mike asked, studying the bow. A reluctant grin curved Marina's lips at the sound of awe in his voice. She glanced at her bow before focusing on cutting up the roots she brought back for their breakfast. Once boiled, it would make a thick, creamy, and delicious meal that was high in protein and nutrients.
"My father gave Mr. Bow to me when I turned 8 summers old. The wood came from an ancient elder tree. They are the oldest trees on the Isle of Magic. It is said that the elder trees were planted by the goddess herself and contain the elements of magic that give us our power. The forest is protected by a magic so old that not even the sea witch's evil can touch it. Father was given the gift of a limb after he healed a sick tree. My gift of magic comes from him, while Aaron's comes from our mother. We like to tease Jeff and say he was a foundling because no one knows where his gift came from,"
Marina said, looking up when Jeff entered with the pot of water.
"That is not true. Our grandmother is a shapeshifter."
"Here is the water," Jeff said, placing the pot of cold water on the bed of coals from the fire.
"Thank you,"
Marina replied, adding the roots to the water.
"Erin, do you want to take Charlie out for a walk?"
Jeff asked, with a hopeful look at his younger sister.
"Yes,"
Erin answered, rising to her feet.
"Come on, Charlie."
Marina looked up with a worried frown.
"Don't go far, and keep your eyes open," she cautioned.
"We will,"
Jeff promised. She bit her lip and watched as they slipped through the opening. Both of them were aware of the dangers, but she couldn't help but worry after yesterday. Erin looked better this morning, but she was still pale and far too thin for her age. Her sister had lost weight over the last couple of months. The strain of caring for so many children who had fallen ill, then becoming sick herself, had left Erin with little appetite. When they returned to the camp later today, she would place the healing stones around Erin again.
"What is that?"
Mike asked with a sniff. Marina blinked and turned to look at Mike. She parted her lips as she stared at his mouth. She wondered what his lips would feel like against hers. He must have read her expression because he leaned forward and cupped her cheek with his hand. She lifted her eyelashes and became captivated by the burning expression in his eyes.
"Mike,"
Marina murmured, leaning toward him. A soft moan escaped her when his lips captured hers. She raised her arms and wrapped them around his neck when he slid his hands around her waist and lifted her enough to pull her onto his lap. She threaded her fingers through his short hair, holding him to her. Their hot breaths mixed as their tongues tangled with each other, each seeking to satisfy the hunger that had been ignited. Marina felt the magic inside her soar to a level she had never experienced before. Her body trembled with need for the man who had saved her life and connected with her on an elemental level.
Woof!
The sound of Charlie's bark pulled Marina back to reality. She reluctantly broke their kiss, her eyes still closed as she clung to the wave of emotion still washing over her. Eyelashes fluttering, she looked up when she felt Mike stiffen and heard his swiftly inhaled breath. Her dazed gaze met his. His hand slid from her waist to tenderly touch her cheek. His fingers skimmed along her flushed, heated skin. In the reflection of his eyes, she could see the glow surrounding her.
"I'm not sure what is happening, but I can promise you I intend to see where it takes us," he stated, in a determined voice.
Marina flushed with pleasure and released him. Her body was glowing, literally. She held her hands out in front of her and turned them. Looking up, her lips parted. She could see the awe reflected in his gaze. He could see her aura.
"Marina, is the food ready? I'm starving," Aaron called.
Marina slid off of Mike's lap and knelt in front of the fire again as Charlie, followed closely by Aaron and Jeff, entered their small shelter. She quickly picked up the spoon and stirred the root mush she had been cooking. Luckily, it didn't stick to the bottom of the pot or burn.
"It is almost ready," Marina said.
Aaron paused as she started to sit and stared at her. Marina could feel her cheeks heating and had to resist the urge to lick her lips. Aaron sank down the rest of the way and tilted her head.
"Are you feeling well? You look flushed," Aaron asked in concern. "I'm fine. Here, we need to eat and leave. We still have a long way to go before we get back to camp," Marina said, holding out a bowl of mush to Aaron.
Chapter 9. Less than an hour later, Mike was following Marina as they navigated a narrow mountain trail. On one side was a wall of rock, while on the other was a steep, tree-covered drop-off. This time, Jeff led the way with Charlie, Aaron, Marina, and Mike following single file behind him. For the first time, Mike noticed that while Marina's top looked black, it was actually a forest green that changed colors in the sunlight. The colors helped her blend in with the surrounding forest. He swore at times she actually appeared to fade from view. He had to admit that he was fascinated with everything about this woman walking in front of him. Their shared kiss earlier this morning kept playing like a broken record over and over in his mind. The taste of her lips, the feel of her warm body against his, the passion in her response, hell, even his own reaction. He wanted her. There was no denying it, and he wasn't even going to try. When she had pulled back after hearing Charlie's bark, her skin had been glowing. The vivid rainbow of colors had wrapped around his hand when he touched her. There had been a tingling feeling, almost as if he had touched one of those plasma balls that he used to play with as a kid. He wanted to know more about her, and he wanted to protect her. Watching her sleep last night had awakened a strong, protective instinct inside that had startled him. He hadn't felt such a strong reaction for anyone before, not even Ruth. Of course, he'd never had to worry about an evil sea witch, hellhounds, ogres, magical realms, or things like that with his sister, just a wimpy ex-husband. A shudder went through him at the thought of his sister. He had to find a way back. If he didn't, there was no doubt in his mind that Ruth would turn Yahat State Park upside down trying to find him. If there was one thing his sister was, it was tenacious. She could be worse than Charlie with a chew bone.
"We are almost there,"
Marina commented over her shoulder, pulling him back to the present. "Sounds good," Mike replied. Nearly 15 minutes later, the path curved downward and opened to reveal a wide, flat area near the base of the mountain. Mike paused when he saw the makeshift shelters. There were a half-dozen small campfires burning outside of the branch and woven leaf structures. Dozens of children of all ages paused to look at them in fear for a brief moment before a cry of relief and excitement resounded from the group. Mike quickly found himself surrounded by a sea of dirty, tired faces looking up at him in curiosity, reserve, and a touch of hope. He turned his head and locked gazes with Marina as she reached out and gently touched several of the rumpled children. A combination of love, sadness, and determination was reflected in her expression.
"Who are they? Why are they here?" he asked.
A dark, puzzled frown creased his brow when he didn't see anyone older than Marina.
"Where are the adults?"
"Gone,"
Marina quietly replied as she gazed around the suddenly quiet group.
"The parents, and many of their siblings and friends, were turned to stone by the Sea Witch for refusing to join her. The few villages that survived are those who pay tribute to Magna, hoping to save themselves. The children you see here were the only ones lucky enough to escape into the forest before the spell consuming their villages could affect them."
Mike's eyes widened as the large-scale devastation of what had happened to Marina's people hit him. He was in a strange world, among a tide of mahogany and violet-haired urchins whose parents had been turned to stone by a sea witch straight out of a fairy tale. He swallowed as he watched Charlie eagerly moving from one small body to the next, licking them and eating up the attention. He returned his gaze to Marina when she gently touched his arm.
"Come, I need to check on a few things. I also want to make sure that I place the healing stones on Aaron for a little while. Before sunset, I will prepare some food for us. I know a place where we can talk in private,"
she said, in a quiet voice. Mike nodded.
"What can I do to help?"
he asked, as he followed her. A grateful smile lit her features.
"If you could help Jeff check the shelters, I would appreciate it. The children were building them when we left a few days ago," she said.
Mike glanced around the small encampment and nodded.
"I can do that," he responded.
He turned back to look at Marina when she touched his arm. He saw a flash of uncertainty on her face before she drew in a deep breath, leaned forward, and brushed a kiss against his cheek. He wrapped his arms around her waist, pulling her tight against him.
"Mike?"
Marina gasped in surprise, looking up at him.
"That is not a kiss." He lowered his head until he was a breath away from her lips. "Now, this is a kiss," he murmured.
He captured her parted lips. There was no doubt in his mind that he wanted this woman with a passion that nearly took his breath away. The chemistry between them immediately ignited a fire inside him, and the mischievous kiss he'd planned soon turned into a "forget the world, this woman is mine" kind of kiss. He raised a hand and tangled his fingers in her hair so he could deepen the kiss. Mike literally forgot about everything but the soft, warm woman in his arms. At least he did until he felt a tug on his pant leg. Breaking the kiss with an impatient growl, he turned his head to see what had disturbed him. His expression cleared when he saw a young girl who must have been no more than 3 staring up at him with wide eyes of crystal blue. Her cheeks had streaks of dirt on them, and her ice-blue curly hair was in a lopsided ponytail. Mike heard Marina's soft groan.
"Casey, where's your brother?"
Marina asked.
"Touch,"
Casey demanded, still staring at Mike. Mike grimaced at the piercing gaze.
"Why is she staring at me?" he asked.
"She's trying to read you. Casey is an empath," Marina explained.
"An empath?" Mike shook his head. "I don't think it would be a good idea for her to read me at the moment."
Marina turned to look at him with a frown.
"Why?"
she asked.
Because what I'm thinking and feeling is definitely for mature audiences only, he ruefully admitted.
I don't...
Marina began before understanding Dawn. Her face turned a rosy red.
Oh.
Yeah, that about sums it up, he chuckled.
Casey! Casey, where are you?
A young boy called from outside one of the shelters.
Mike could see the boy frantically searching for the little girl. Marina bent over and picked up Casey. The boy turned toward them when he saw his sister. Mike could see the boy's exasperated expression. A grin curved his lips. Ruth had worn the same expression more than once with him.
I'll go find Jeff, Mike said.
I think Casey and I will go check on Aaron, Marina replied, before turning back toward him. I will see you later.
Mike could hear the slight hesitation in her voice.
You bet your ass you will, he retorted with a wink.
Turning, he headed across the encampment to the shelter Jeff was working on. He needed something to keep his mind occupied. Well, at least partially occupied, if for no other reason than to get his body back under control. At the moment, his cock was still hard, and he could feel the sexual desire still pulling at him.
This is nothing like being 14. This is far, far worse. I'll be heading into some serious trouble if I'm not careful, he muttered under his breath.
Marina bit her lip as she watched Mike working with Jeff. The day had warmed up, and he had removed his jacket and sweater. The black short-sleeved shirt he'd worn under his sweater clung to his body, highlighting his broad chest and flat stomach. A light blush heated her cheeks when Mike turned his head as if feeling her gaze and caught her staring at him. She whispered to one of the other young girls who had come to sit with Aaron while Marina helped prepare food for the younger children.
You like him, Aaron observed.
Marina flushed and pursed her lips together when several of the other girls giggled. She drew in a breath, released a loud sigh, and scowled at the other girls who were now watching her. Her gaze moved back to Mike, where he was tying off a section of the wall he and Jeff had constructed.
He's not from our world,
Marina murmured, turning her attention back to stirring the wild vegetables two of the other girls had gathered, cleaned, and cut up.
Why should that matter? Father always said that he would love Mother, even if she came from the Isle of the Monsters,
Aaron replied, with a raised eyebrow. Marina chuckled.
Mike is not from any of the kingdoms in our world. It is only natural that he will want to return to where he came from, she explained. Then, what kingdom does he come from?
Chai, a young girl the same age as Jeff, asked.
He came from a strange place, with many names that I have never heard, Marina admitted. Could we go to his world? Would we be safe there?
Dara asked. Marina's gaze softened at the young girl's hopeful look. She shook her head. Even if she knew how she had opened the door in the first place, she seriously doubted she could do it again. Handing the spoon she had been using to stir the large pot of soup to Chai, Marina stood up and crossed over to where her sister was sitting. She ran her hand over Aaron's forehead. She breathed a sigh of relief when it felt cool to her touch. The healing stones had done their magic.
Marina, what are we going to do?
Aaron asked.
I don't know, but I'll think of something, she replied.
She paused, her hand still against Aaron's cheek. The other girls had stopped what they were doing to look at her. She could see the exhaustion on all of their faces. Looking around the camp, she could not only see it on the other children's faces, but feel it in the air. The constant moving, the lack of regular food, the sickness that had swept through the small group, and the perpetual fear of being found was taking a toll on everyone. Once their new camp was finished, she would leave Jeff in charge of the group and seek help from the one person who might understand how she had opened the portal between her world and Mike's. She would also ask for help in reaching out to the other kingdoms. Despair filled her at the thought that the other kingdoms would turn her away.
Marina, we finished the last shelter, Jeff said with an easy smile.
Marina removed her hand from Aaron's cheek. A laugh escaped her when Charlie came up and licked her sister's cheek. Of course, the pup, excited by all of the girls' reactions, had to give each one a lick. The squeal of laughter was music to her ears. It had been so long since she'd heard the happy sound that she'd often wondered if she would ever hear it again.
"It looks like Charlie has found some willing victims to love on," Mike chuckled.
Marina started in surprise. She was so focused on Charlie's antics that she didn't hear Mike's approach. Twirling, she found herself in his arms once again. Lifting her head, she drew in a deep breath when she saw the fire burning in his eyes.
Yes, he has, she said in a slightly breathless voice.
"Do you need help with anything else?" Mike asked.
The giggles behind Marina told her that the girls knew exactly what was going on. Well, at least the older ones. Even Jeff was looking at her funny. With a slight growl of annoyance, Marina glared at the children watching and listening to them so intently. Of course, all that did was make them giggle harder.
"Mr. Bo, let's go fishing," Marina called.
In a flash, the bow flew through the air to her outstretched hand. Turning, she tossed her long braid over her shoulder. She had only taken a few steps before she stopped in her tracks.
Would you like to help me catch some fish for dinner?" she asked,
looking at Mike over her shoulder.
"Of course I'd love to help you. What kind of man turns down the offer of a fishing trip with a beautiful witch?" he teased.
"A smart one, if he doesn't want to have to clean the wiggling, disgusting things," Mr. Bo retorted. A surprised look appeared on Mike's face before he burst out in a deep, rich laugh that sent a wave of need through Marina. How could a man's laugh make her want to strip him out of his clothing and do wild things to him? She softly groaned when she heard the laughter of the children again. Focusing on where she was going, she strode across the encampment toward a path that led down to the river.
"Marina,"
Mike said, following her down the winding path.
"Marina, wait!"
Marina stopped. She held her back stiff and her head high. Turning on her heels, she faced Mike. Confusion, frustration, and another emotion she didn't understand warred inside her.
"What is it?" she demanded.
Mike drew to a stop in front of her. Lifting his hand, he gently pulled free a long piece of straw that had become tangled in her hair. He held it up, twirling it between his fingers. "This," he said, before bending down to brush a kiss across her lips. "And that." Her eyelids lowered to conceal her confusion. Once again, she felt a need rising inside her, a need to touch him, to kiss him, and to be close with him in a way she had never been with a man before. Her magic reached out to wrap around him. She could see the spirals of her aura curling outward.
"Mike,"
her voice faded. She honestly didn't know what to say to him. How did she explain the rush of emotions filling her whenever she thought of him when she didn't understand them herself?
"I know, Marina. I feel it too," he said,
cupping her cheek and bending down to brush another kiss across her lips.
"Fishing. That is what we are supposed to be doing, correct? Or were you planning on using Mike's worm instead?"
Mr. Bo dryly commented. A wave of embarrassment swept through Marina, and she lifted her bow and shook it.
"I should use you as firewood," she threatened,
holding up her bow so she could glare at it.
"How mother ever allowed father to give you to me is beyond rational thought. You are completely incorrigible."
"My personality comes naturally, of course. All elder trees are born with a dry sense of humor," Mr. Bo retorted.
"I am so sorry," Marina said, with an apologetic grimace to Mike. "I really have no control over what Mr. Bo says."
Mike chuckled.
"I can imagine having Mr. Bo can make life very interesting at times," he replied, stepping next to her and threading his fingers through her hand.
"You have no idea," she mumbled.
A shiver ran through her when he lifted her hand and pressed a kiss to the back of it. She briefly closed her eyes and drew in a deep breath. For just a little while, she wanted to forget everything else but them.
"Fishing, Marina. It will be dark soon," Mr. Bo reminded her. "I know, Mr. Bo," Marina reluctantly said,
releasing the breath in a sigh and pulling back from Mike. Chapter 10. The river was shallow along the edges before gradually deepening in the center. Large boulders, washed down from the mountain over time, created small, still pools. The water was crystal clear here, which made it easier to see the fish that liked to school in calmer waters. They worked in silence. Mike watched in amazement as Marina stood on one of the boulders and pulled the bowstring back. A glowing arrow appeared. She held steady, watching and waiting, before she released the bowstring. Mike decided that it would have been magical just to watch Marina without Mr. Bow. A golden string was attached to the arrow, and she would pull in the fish and toss it to him. Using the knife Jeff had given him earlier, Mike cleaned the fish, filleting and placing them in woven baskets of vines that Marina had created. Each fish was almost twice the size of the wild Alaskan salmon he used to catch in Alaska, and they quickly filled two large woven baskets. He had finished up the last one when an unusual sound caused him to look up. He froze, with his hand in midair. Across the river stood a huge, hairy creature that looked like a cross between a miniature King Kong and a water buffalo. Shaggy, dark brown, and black hair covered its body. From the neck down, it looked and walked like an ape. It had a long snout and horns that curved along its skull, which looped around on either side, ending in sharp points. The beast raised its head and sniffed the air. A feeling of unease swept through Mike when the creature lowered its head and stared at him. Drawing in a deep breath, he kept his gaze on the creature.
"Marina, we've got company," he softly called.
"I know," she replied.
Mike's gaze flashed to Marina, where she stood on the boulder, grinning. He turned back to stare at the creature that was now wading through the water. Mike took an instinctive step backwards when it reached the middle of the river.
"I don't know if I should freeze, run like hell, or pinch myself," he said.
Marina's laughter filled the air. It was warm, sexy, and made him think all kinds of things, which he shouldn't be at the moment. From the corner of his eye, he watched her squat and slide down off the boulder. She walked to the edge of the water and waited.
"Come here, my friend,"
Marina murmured, lifting her right hand. Mike watched in disbelief as it finished crossing the river and slowly waded up to the rocky edge. The water ape, as he decided to call it for lack of a better name, stopped and lowered its head to Marina's hand. It sniffed her palm before licking it.
"What's it doing?"
Mike asked, in a curious voice. Marina looked at him over her shoulder and smiled.
"The river beasts love fish. They're normally solitary creatures, and usually only come down from the trees to feed. This one must have been close by and smelled the fish you were cleaning," she explained.
"Oh, kind of like an overgrown koala, only not," he replied.
"I don't know what this koala is, but they are normally very gentle creatures for their size," she said, scratching the river beast's forehead. "Could you bring the remains of one of the fish to me, please?"
Mike gingerly bent down and picked up one of the discarded remains of a fish. He straightened and slowly walked toward the river beast. The animal had a head the size of a semi-cab and stood close to 20 feet high. Holding the fish out, he was surprised when the creature reached out with one hand and pinched the tail between its finger and thumb. He released the fish when the river beast lifted it up. The creature paused to gaze down at him for a moment, before it tilted its head back and opened its mouth. The carcass of the fish disappeared in one bite. Mike stumbled to the side when the river beast slowly moved past him toward the pile of fish remains.
"Hey, don't!"
Mike started to protest when the beast paused by one of the baskets.
"It's all right. He won't take the fish in the basket. He knows we need them," she murmured.
He turned his head when he felt Marina touch his arm. She gave him an encouraging smile before nodding toward the beast. Sure enough, the creature turned its head back to the pile of remains. The ground shook slightly when the river beast suddenly sat down on its haunches. Reaching out, the creature slowly began eating the fish carcasses, one at a time.
"It has been tough on them since the sea witch created her hellhounds. Over the past year, I found the remains of 3 river beasts," Marina said in a sad voice, before she shook her head and looked up at the sky. It will be dark in little over an hour. We better get back to the encampment.
Mike nodded. He watched as Marina walked over to the creature. She gently stroked the river beast before murmuring something to it. A smile lifted the corner of his mouth when the creature snorted and picked up the last fish. He stepped to the side when it walked by him, heading once again for the river. He followed the creature's departure until it disappeared into the forest on the other side. Turning, Mike noticed that Marina had picked up one of the baskets and was waiting for him. He walked over and picked up the other one. They walked back up the path to the village in silence, each lost in their own thoughts once again. Nearly an hour later, the smell of fresh grilled fish and rich soup filled the air around the village, along with the happy sighs of sated children. Marina was impressed that Mike helped her and the older children in preparing plates for the younger children first. Only when everyone else had finished eating and begun to settle down did Marina and Mike prepare a meal for themselves. With an uncertain smile, Marina motioned for Mike to follow her as she stepped out of the hut. Out of habit, her eyes scanned the area to make sure everything was as it should be. The older children were cleaning up and softly talking, while the younger ones were already beginning to settle down for the night. The weight of the sea witch's spell drained the energy of the youngest children more quickly than the older ones. Marina could feel the spell pulling on her own body. For a brief moment, her gaze met that of her brother. He was lying near one of the outdoor fires with Charlie curled against his side. Jeff gave her a worried look. She smiled in reassurance. She knew he was still worried about Aaron. Satisfied, he laid his head back down.
There is a place not far from here that I like to go in the evenings. It is close enough to the encampment that I can hear if anyone needs me, but far enough that we can talk in private,
Marina murmured. He inclined his head, letting her know that he heard her. Marina wove her way through the small encampment and headed toward a path that cut through the rocks on the opposite side from the other path that led down to the river. They both walked in silence until they emerged through a narrow gap onto a wide ledge that looked down over the island. From this vantage point, a person could see almost all of it.
"Wow," Mike exclaimed in a hushed voice. "This is incredible."
Marina chuckled and motioned for him to sit beside her as she sat down on a flat rock. There was a light breeze, and she lifted her head to draw in a deep breath of the fresh air. Despite her exhaustion, she couldn't help but appreciate the beauty of her home.
"Try one of these," she suggested in a quiet voice, nodding to a large green seed. "The liquid inside is very refreshing and good for the body."
Mike picked up one of the green pods. He studied it for a moment before taking a bite. She smiled when his eyes widened in surprise before he devoured the nutritious pod.
"This is delicious," he exclaimed, reaching for another one.
"They are, and thankfully plentiful if you know where to look," she replied.
Marina balanced her plate on her lap. From where they sat, they had a perfect view of the valley and the coastline. They ate in silence, watching as the twin moons rose and illuminated the valley far below. Along the coast, the waves breaking against the rocky shore and the sparkle of bioluminescent algae made the water look like it was a river of blue stars.
"Tell me about your world, Mike,"
Marina quietly encouraged, not looking at him but staring out over the valley.
"What is it like? What is your life like there?"
"It's different," Mike admitted.
He turned so he was facing the unusual woman sitting next to him.
"The things you talk about belong in fairy tales in my world. I'm a detective for the Lincoln County Sheriff's Office. I was investigating the disappearance of two women that vanished in the past 2 years."
Marina turned to look at him when his voice faded. She studied the wave of expressions that crossed his face as he looked down at the plate in his hands. A dark frown creased his brow. He placed his empty plate down on the rock next to him and stood up to walk over to the ledge. Marina placed her plate on top of his and stood up. She silently walked over to stand next to him. He was staring out across the Isle of Magic.
"What is it?"
she asked, tilting her head. In the distance, she could barely make out the towers that were part of the palace. They rose high above the trees, like a shadowy hand reaching for the moons. A shiver ran through her, and she wrapped her arms around her waist. So much joy had once belonged there. Now, only sorrow and evil lived within the once magnificent stone walls.
"I wonder," he whispered, his voice faint as if he were deep in thought. "I wonder if they found a way to your world."
"Who found a way?"
Marina asked, confused.
"The two women I was investigating," he replied, his voice fading again.
"There have been no strange women here. If there had been, Isha would have told father and mother. Word of such an event would have spread quickly," she said, biting her lip and frowning. "But Isha did mention something."
He turned to face her. He reached out and gripped her arms in a light but firm hold. Immediately, she could feel the burst of energy rush through her. The force of it was so powerful that for a moment it took her breath away, and she forgot what they were talking about.
"He mentioned?" he asked, when her voice faded.
She looked up at him.
"I heard Isha talking to father and mother about how Draco, the Dragon King, had awoken. It must have been about 2 years ago. Isha said that the queen believed good things would happen. The dragons were magnificent to behold, and none were more powerful than Draco. I was not much older than Aaron when Draco disappeared. It is said he was so grief-stricken by the loss of all his people that the Isle of the Dragons disappeared into a mist of sorrow. There were only two things that father said could awaken the Dragon King. One was the return of his people, and the second was someone trying to steal from the dragon's treasure."
A bemused smile curved her lips.
"Isha said a strange female had stolen something of extreme value. She had stolen Drago's heart. Isha told father that the king and queen sent a gift of peace and congratulations. And shortly before the Sea Witch took over the Isle of Magic, I was talking with a friend of mine from the Isle of the Sea Serpent. Karen told me that the Sea King had taken a bride who stood up to the Sea Witch, a strange female from another world, with hair the color of fire coral."
"Hair the color of fire coral? She had to be talking about Jenny Ackerley,"
Mike whispered, staring down at her in amazement.
"It has to be them.
Carly Tate had a thing for dragons. Everyone I interviewed talked about her obsession with them. Jenny Ackerley has red hair. They must have found a way to this world somehow."
"You mean the women came from your world as well?"
Marina asked, her lips parting as hope began to flare inside her.
"If they did, perhaps if you talked to them, they would talk to their mates. They could convince Drago and the Sea King to help us. The power of both the King of the Dragons and the Sea King would surely be too much for the Sea Witch. Mike, you have to talk to them. You have to ask them for their help," she begged, clutching his arms. "Please, for my people, for my parents and the villagers and the children. You have to help us."
Chapter 11.
Marina's plea for help deeply touched him. The discontented feelings with his life that he'd been wrestling with for the past few years had disappeared since he first saw her. Hell, discontent was one word he wouldn't associate with Marina. His body came alive when he touched her, making him feel energized. Even the strange colors that swirled around her were now flowing around him as if they were melting at his touch. His left hand moved up her arm, as if it had a mind of its own, to thread through the thick braid at her neck. He splayed his fingers against her smooth, pale skin. He heard her slight, quick gasp of breath as he captured her softly parted lips with his own. Once again, the moment their lips connected, he felt the familiar explosion deep inside his gut that spread outward, slowly engulfing him in the fiery whips of its flames. He closed his eyes and swore he could see a brilliant burst of light as if a star had just exploded and opened up before him,
spiraling outward in a mass of colorful gases forming the galaxies. The intensity behind this kiss was beyond their growing physical attraction. It was as if the silver threads that made up the fabric of the universe were weaving around them and piecing two halves of a soul together as one.
"So this is what magic feels like,"
he thought in a daze, as a jolt of energy poured through him in one explosive burst after another. He groaned when Marina's lips parted under his, sending a shattering wave of fire through him. A shudder ran through him when she tentatively touched the tip of her tongue to his bottom lip. His body reacted like a schoolboy getting his first kiss behind the bleachers, only magnified 1,000 times. Marina moaned softly when he slid his other hand down her arm and around her waist to pull her closer. Sliding the hand gripping her neck around to her jaw, he tenderly caressed the strong line as he deepened the kiss. He knew he wasn't going to last long when one of Marina's hands slid down his chest and the other wrapped around his neck to hold him against her. A shudder ran through him when her hand slipped under the hem of his shirt to his heated flesh. Breaking the kiss, he rested his forehead against hers and drew in a deep breath.
"This is crazy. If we don't stop, I will be taking you right here and now," he muttered, closing his eyes for a moment as he fought to control his raging desire.
He opened his eyes and he drew back. Marina's glazed expression told him that she was experiencing the same intense reaction that he had felt.
"What the hell just happened? I mean, I know what happened, but what the hell happened?"
A soft chuckle escaped Marina as she stared up into his stunned eyes.
"It is said that when a witch touches the one destined to be her mate, the universe opens to them for a moment so they can see all the wonders held within it, and they would understand where her powers came from," she whispered. "I saw it. Did you?"
"If you mean, did I see silver threads, the universe in full technicolor, and an explosion that has me harder than a..."
He cursed softly and nodded his head.
"Yeah, I saw it. But what does it mean?"
Marina slid her hand around to touch his cheek.
"It means you are mine," she whispered.
Mike moaned softly in his sleep. The feeling of warmth against his cheek pulled at his consciousness. He had been locked in a dream that made him throb with more than a typical early morning hard-on. Marina's softly murmured words from last night rang through his mind along with the feel of her lips against his.
"You are mine. You are mine. You are mine."
"Marina."
Her name slipped from his lips, and his head automatically turned to the warm breath that skimmed across his skin. He opened his mouth to murmur Marina's name again when a wet tongue, followed by the sounds of childish giggles, jerked him awake. The moans quickly turned to a smothered curse as he pushed Charlie's furry face and eager tongue away. Sitting up, he ran the back of his hand across his mouth and glared at the excited pup that was now sitting in front of him with his tail going back and forth like a pendulum on steroids.
"Damn it, Charlie, you better not have been licking your balls or ass before you stuck that damn thing in my mouth," Mike growled.
Of course, that was like waving a juicy bone in front of the pup. Charlie leaned forward and licked the hand Mike had raised to protect his mouth. He turned his head when a soft, feminine laugh joined those of the group of children kneeling around him. Flushing, he dropped his hand to his lap when he saw Marina standing behind his curious audience. He raised his other hand instinctively to block Charlie when the pup tried to get his attention again.
"Morning," he said in a gruff voice.
"Good morning,"
Marina replied. She turned to her brother with a mischievous glint in her eye.
"Jeff, would you mind taking the golden beast and the first group of children to the river to wash? Don't forget to set up guards this time," she instructed.
Jeff nodded and rose to his feet.
"Yes. Come on, Charlie. You can help us protect the younger children."
Mike watched in silence as the group slowly made their way through the camp with Jeff and Charlie in the lead. He turned and rolled to his feet. He felt like he had just laid down on the thin pallet on the ground. It was late by the time he finally fell asleep. Part of his lack of sleep came from being overtired, but the majority of it came from what happened between him and Marina last night. He bit back a groan as his muscles protested sleeping on the hard ground.
"This is why air mattresses were invented," he thought with a wry grin as he slowly stretched his stiff muscles.
He was definitely getting too